It is a great day outside. Amen? Y'all didn't say that like you meant it. Amen? Yeah. We got the rain, and we got the cooler weather we were looking for last summer. And it is wonderful. It really is a beautiful change. And we were a little bit reluctant to turn the heat on this morning. We didn't know when the front was going to come in, but it did come in a little early. And but anyway, we're so glad that all of you are here this morning. It is a great and wonderful day to enter into the house of God and to glorify our Lord and our Master. And we appreciate your being here. You know, there's so much to be said in the world about opinions. Everybody has one. Anybody here not have an opinion? Would you like to start over here and we'll find out what their opinions are? And no, we won't do that. That would take too much time because everyone really does have an opinion. A human research survey of public opinion realized that there are a lot of people that disagree, a lot of people that are undecided, and that a lot of people agree, but everybody has one. You hear about opinion polls all the time. Our country is divided today by opinion. It is true. Have you ever wondered about all those polls that you hear about on television? They'll tell you that one candidate is far above the other candidates, or, you know, they just tell you a number of things that they know nothing really at all about. As someone said, the only poll that really counts is the election poll. But everybody has an opinion. But the real question here is, should we trust them? Do you trust your opinion? Some people will say yes. Some will say, well, I don't really. And some will say, well, I don't know whether to trust my opinion or not. One thing that I have observed in life is that your vote does count. A lot of people think it doesn't, but it does. I want to talk to you today about the Jesus Public Opinion Poll. Jesus was interested in that also, for in the book of Matthew 16, he had journeyed to what we commonly refer to as the coast of Caesarea Philippi. It was named after Caesar Philip. And when he came there, people were talking about who this Messiah was, and they were in disagreement about who he was. And so he turned to Peter and he says, who do they say I am? And he said, well, they're divided. Some say that thou art Jeremiah, that you've come back in the flesh. Others say that you are Elias and that you too have come back in the flesh. And others say this or that. And Jesus said to him, he said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, there have always been op-eds that have really been written about Jesus, but he never really did consider too much opinion polls, as was really the case. If you read Matthew 16, it's the only time you ever found that Jesus was really inquisitive about what other people might be saying. But he sought to do the Father's will in all things. Have you ever thought about this one, that Jesus always declared the truth and he never gave an opinion? Think about that. Maybe that's a good lesson for us, huh? Never did he give an opinion about anything. He would say, I've heard it said, or you have heard it said, but I say unto you, and it is based upon biblical truth. Everywhere Jesus went, he spoke the truth, never opinions. Do you know that our religious world today is so divided over opinions? They are. You got people in this religious group that believe one thing. You got another religious group over here that believe another. You've got religious groups all over. As a matter of fact, there is a tremendous amalgamation of religious bodies, and their religion is based not upon this book. but it is based upon their opinion about the book. There was something about Jesus that was so unique that it captivated even the minds of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. You know, I'd love to hear Jesus preach, and we'll get to hear that one of these days if we get to go to heaven. But Jesus, I believe, preached very forcefully. He preached the Word of God, and he challenges us to do it. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, to rebuke, to exhort, with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth, and they'll be turned unto fables. You know what a fable is? A fable is an opinion. It's an old wives' tale. It's been said so long that people believe it to be true because it's been said so long. One of the most unusual ones, and I never understood it, I heard a lady say to me a number of years ago that, you know, each tub must sit on its own bottom. Now, what that means, I don't know. She said, you know, the scripture teaches that. Anybody have any idea what that means? If you do, I would like for you to share that with me after this is over. I've heard that I don't know how many times. Each tub must sit on its own bottom. Now, Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. In the book of John chapter 7, the Bible says, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Get that picture. Jesus is in their midst. They could have apprehended him. They would have laid hands on him. But then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, and they said, that never a man spake like this man. There was something unique about the sermons of Jesus. Never a man spake like this man. Think about it. These religious leaders had heard many, many discussions on religion. They had debated various people about what they believed. But there was something that really captured them about Jesus, and the officer said, hey, we would have brought him to you, but let me tell you, this man's different. Nobody we have ever heard in our life ever speaks like this man, Jesus. The Bible says, and when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8 and verse 12. Bible says on one occasion they were astonished at his doctrine. Luke 4:32. For his word was with power. His word was with power. Now, you know, when you read the Bible here, there are numerous warnings about preaching the gospel. Make sure you're preaching the truth and teaching the truth. And that doesn't go on a lot of places today. You got a lot of people want to give opinions. And it's kind of like the news. You know, when you turn on the news in the afternoon, you get just a little smidgen of news that's going on in the world. And the rest of the time they say, we're going to bring in so-and-so now and get an analysis of the news. They give you about 30 or 25 minutes of analysis and 5 minutes of news. Now, that's what people do sometimes when they're preaching and teaching the Word of God. And sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your health. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, preach the Word, be instant in season. That word means to be urgent in doing it. Get after it. And let me tell you something else. For all these bleeding hearts today who cry out, well, you know, Jesus is antiquated. The church is antiquated. The church doesn't mean the same thing it meant back 2,000 years ago. And Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't the Son of God. And what he says in his word is not really true. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, And the truth shall make you free. And the Lord's truth is not altered by fads. It's not altered by those who want to be popular. And it's not. It is not altered by public opinion polls. Christ is the light of the world, John chapter 8. And the words of Jesus stand alone in truth and power and authority. On one occasion, the Bible says, this man spoke with authority, for his words were from God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice this, Christ is the author. He's the Word. He's the one that gave the Word. It's not by accident that he's even referred to as the Word. Go to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You don't need something else to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. For the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said to him one time, they said, Lord, would you increase our faith? And you know what Jesus did? He pointed them to the word of God. You want to enhance your faith? You want to have a strong faith? You want to finish with great faith, like Paul said he did when he said, I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith. Get back into the Word of God. It is the authority. There was something about Jesus, however, and when you think about people that have opinions about him, there are a lot of people that have all kinds of opinions about Jesus. But one of the things I've noticed is that he was sure of himself. When Jesus spoke, there was no big question mark on the end of statements that he made. Now, he asked a lot of questions. Some he didn't answer, and we're getting ready to do a study here on Sunday morning in our adult Bible class in the auditorium on unanswered questions of the Bible. But Jesus was not really interested in opinion polls. He was interested in what we as individuals say about him and what we say. But you know what? A lot of people are more interested in public opinion than they are anything else. That's the reason they live their lives the way they do. I know a lot of people that would become Christians today, but it's not consistent with maybe their friends. It's not consistent with the way that they believe or the way that they've been taught or how they feel in their mind. I don't know how many times I hear people say, well, I really feel this in my heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You know, when you come to the church, you realize that there's not room really for opinion. You have opinions at the polling place, and you will here in a few days, by the way. I think you can still vote early on the propositions that are being made. But the only poll that really counts is the election poll. You know, you can have people saying, oh, I believe this today. You know, I believe in Jesus today. Something comes along, you may say, well, I don't believe in Jesus because all these bad things happen to me. And if I really believed in Jesus, then why would he allow all these terrible things to happen to me? Jesus said unto certain, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. We got a lot of people today that question whether Jesus came from God. He said he did. I believe what he said. He said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, Peter says, for all of us that are Christians, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, who is the devil, is as a roaring lion who is walking about, and he is seeking whom he may desire. And the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren out there in the world. Don't allow lies and doubts of the enemy to make themselves at home in your heart or take up residence in your life or in your mind. When I think about Jesus and what they said about him, never a man spake like this man. Never did anyone speak with such authority. You remember in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now that doesn't leave any room for the Pope. Doesn't leave any room for you or for me or what I think about it or my opinion. It's just not available, folks. All authority has been given. It was given to him by God. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. Nobody ever healed people like Jesus. No one ever really spoke like Christ with such authority. Now, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees got all upset because he spoke with authority, because they were the religious leaders of his day. And what Christ said sometimes angered many of those religious leaders because he was teaching the truth and the truth was convicting them. And they got angry. All authority, and notice that, in heaven and on earth. No more authority for you or me or anyone else. For he has the power, and he has the authority, and he is the only holy Father. We got people today refer to certain men as the Holy Father. The only holy Father I read about in the Word of God is Jehovah God. He is the only one, is he not? Jesus is Lord over disease. The scribes and the magistrates and the Pharisees couldn't cast out demonic spirits, but Jesus could and did. They couldn't heal diseases like Jesus did. He could say to the hearing, open your ears, you now hear. He could say to those who were blind when he made spittle and told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he made spittle and placed it on his eyes and washed. And he was healed. No one in the world has such authority as does our Lord. He had authority over Satan. He gives us authority through his word. We don't have to give in to Satan. But Christ could cast Satan out. No wonder Peter could say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he was of God. No one had authority over sin like Jesus. You know why I say that? We all sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And in the book of 1 John, John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But Christ had no sin. He spoke with authority. You have sin. I have sin. But Jesus didn't. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. For in John 1 and verse 29, John looked and beheld him and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was the only one. And think about this one. He is the only one who had the authority over death. We can't go out to the cemetery and resurrect folk. Jesus could. He did it many times. Remember the woman whose son at Nain had died and they were carrying him to bury him? And Jesus walked over and touched the coffin and raised him from the dead. That's one of the occasions you don't read about too much. No, you hear about Lazarus a lot. When he called Lazarus forth from the dead, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He'd been dead 4 days. There was decomposition going on. And yet Jesus goes at the summoning of his sisters to the tomb of Lazarus. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what Jesus said? They had wrapped him in clothing. And he said, loose him and let him go. So many times, Jesus exercised his authority over death. And he did it even with his own body. Who raised him up? I'll tell you who raised him up. God did. In Paul's treatise, actually, in the account given in the book of Acts chapter 1, when the Bible says it was not possible that Jesus should be holden of death, that God hath raised him up. God is the one who resurrected him from his dead state. In Mark 7 and verse 29, Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees would tell you what an authority they were on religious matters. And they became very envious and very jealous of Jesus. But he taught with authority. What he said, he meant. And when I think about Jesus speaking differently than the scribes and the Pharisees, he spoke courageously. He wasn't afraid to speak. I've never been afraid to stand up in the pulpit and declare the will of God. Nor should any preacher. But Jesus spoke with great courage. There was one time when they came to seize him and bring him back, and Jesus stepped up to them, very assertive. And they turned around and went the other way. He knew who he was. He wasn't interested in public opinion. He was from God and he was going to speak for God. And if there's anything we all ought to learn in life, it is to be courageous. As God's children, to be courageous. But we have a lot of people, a lot of preachers that are mealy-mouthed. They're not going to tell you the truth. He spoke publicly in the synagogue and even in the temple as well. He exposed sin for what it was. He would say to some, you are of your father the devil, John 8 and verse 44. And he told it like it is. He was a man of conviction. But you know what? In our culture today, we're so afraid that we might offend somebody. You know, when Jesus spoke in John chapter 6, the Bible says that many of them walked away. And Jesus turned to his own disciples and said, will you also go away? And they said, the Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. In Mark the 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says that Jesus entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there that had a withered hand. And they watched him and whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. Now that was another issue. That they might accuse him. They were looking for some, you know, people are always looking to bring you down. People are always looking for something in your life of which they could accuse you. And that's what they were doing here. They were looking that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, this was on the Sabbath, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. What would you say? That was kind of a catch. I mean, how am I going to answer that question? And when he had looked round about them with anger. Christ ever get angry? Absolutely. And being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And notice what happens. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now, why would you want to kill a man who healed another one? Why would you want to get rid of Jesus, who was the Son of God, who never spoke opinions? He always spoke the truth. He wasn't interested in being politically correct, for his authority was much greater than the authorities of his day. The Apostle Paul followed the same courage he had seen in Jesus and was faithful to the end. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 through 10, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished the course, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all who love his appearing. Paul said it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Did he face opposition? Absolutely he did. Did he stand forth? Or was he mealy-mouthed? Or was he weak-kneed? No. Not according to Mark chapter 7 and verse 1 or Luke chapter 13. And he wasn't afraid to speak on difficult subjects. He wasn't. He was always straightforward with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Now, Nicodemus, get this picture, he was an authoritarian. He is one of the 70 in the Sanhedrin Council. That's kind of like our Supreme Court. And so, anyway, what happened here is he came to Jesus, and he said, Master, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do the things that you do. And he said, blessed are you, Nicodemus. But I say unto you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus begins to question that, and he says, what are you talking about? Born again. Never heard that expression before. And he says, you must be born again. And he says, marvel not at this. Don't be astounded. But you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You must be baptized. That's on the authority of God, and we still speak with that authority today. Just as he was straightforward with Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees who came. He was a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can I be born again when I'm old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That, my friend, is on the authority of Jesus Christ. It is not the opinions of men. For the opinions of men counter that. They say, that's just not true. You don't have to do that. Well, I beg to differ with you. If Christ said it, I believe he means it. And Jesus was not politically correct. That's why they nailed him to the cross. There's a difference between being biblically correct and being politically correct. Do we speak with authority? Are we courageous as God's people? Will we speak up publicly? It's one thing to speak up here and to speak up out in the world. Are we truly convicted? Are we? Are we straightforward with people? Are we willing to stand and face opposition? Will we speak on difficult subjects? Absolutely. Do you realize that this is a polling place? And you can hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. If God tells me what I must do to be saved, I follow not the opinions of men that mean nothing, but I follow the truth of Jesus. The Lord's truth's not altered, as I said. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. But a person must be baptized for the remission of his sins. And that's speaking on the authority of Jesus Christ. A judgment day is coming. And that judgment will be based upon whether or not we've obeyed the words of Christ. Did you know that? Not your friends, not the opinions of men. For in the book of John chapter 12, the Bible teaches that we're going to be judged by the word of God. For he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. On that day, it won't matter how popular you are, how popular your opinion may be with the masses, or how rich you are, or how many possessions you've been able to acquire in this life. It will all be meaningless. It will all be for naught. Your opinion, culture, your race, your religion will not matter. Christ called you to be righteous, not religious. And in that day, only a personal relationship with Jesus will be the issue. It is not enough to say that you prefer Jesus. I've had people even tell me that about the church. They say, well, you know, I prefer the church of Christ. I prefer the church. It's not enough to prefer the church. It's not enough to prefer Jesus. But we must choose him and make him the Lord of our life. And as I told you, this is the spiritual place of election. This is the polling place right here. This is where we help you get to heaven. It's where you make a decision. You step out and you confess Christ. And you acknowledge your vote for Christ. My question to you this morning is, if you're not a Christian, will you choose Jesus? Will you? He says, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And blessed are those who do his commandments, not opinions, commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. It's ballot time. Jesus and Satan are on the ballot. Who will you choose? Who will you choose? While we stand and while we sing.